Cup.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow, live from Radio Row.
Radio Row.
At the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you joined us here on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we roll along from Super Bowl Radio Row here in Atlanta, Georgia, getting ready again for Sunday's game. Patriots, again, we've been talking about this in terms of the Patriots-Rams Super Bowl, sort of this kind of old versus new dichotomy, coaching staffs, Bill Belichick at 66, Sean McVay at 33. But as Ron and I have been pointing out on this show, this is not going to be an old style of football versus a new style of football. Oh, au contraire. This is going to be an adaptable, changeable system that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have done and done many, many times against a team that has got a solid defensive front that is going to try to enact pressure. The coaching matchups, I think, are very interesting, and what Dante Scarnecchia is going to have to do from the offensive line standpoint for the Patriots to sort of contain Aaron Donald is going to try to rush and wreak havoc up the middle. I find the Super Bowl sort of fascinating. But as we talked about in the last hour, the age dynamic that comes into play in the Super Bowl between a 41-year-old starting quarterback and a 33-year-old head coach. I think this is a situation, a sort of a conversation piece for these Super Bowls that I really love about what this game is bringing and what this game is kind of highlighting. 41-year-old guys are not supposed to be starting in the Super Bowl, and 33-year-old guys are not supposed to be on the sidelines as the head coach of a Super Bowl. And yet, that's where we are heading into Sunday. And I find it fascinating. And also, listen, the city of Los Angeles, who just recently got the Rams back, right, and dealing with the fact that the team that had won four games in the first year back from St. Louis, and again, Jeff Fisher at the time was the head coach, Jared Goff was looking like he might be a bust out, then all of a sudden you bring in this young coach, and now the fortunes have changed, and now everything is switched, and you go from, well, we got a football team back, we hadn't had a football team in 20 years, now the Rams are back, and when I was a kid they moved to Anaheim, or when I was a kid they weren't even here, to all of a sudden be thrusted from, we don't have a football team, to we're rooting for a Super Bowl championship and I don't know what to do with that. Man, there's a lot of good angles to this Super Bowl. We'll continue to process that. We've also got Super Bowl history coming up, and Kelvin Beecham is going to join us as well this hour. It's all here at Radio Row in Atlanta for Super Bowl 53, SB Nation Radio.
In the building.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Super Bowl 53, a lot of questions about each team's preparation. What I think the biggest question, Ron, is will Chick-fil-A really be closed on Super Bowl Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium? Come on.
I mean,
can we make an exception here?
Yes, you can make an exception.
Guys, I get it. You have stores around the country, and you have sort of a Christian-based value system within the company that says, hey, we want to give Sundays off for families to enjoy their time.
Right, but how about for 1 week only, you're open on Sunday, you're closed on Monday?
One location or whatever. How many are looking in the stadium?
Well, okay,
around the country.
And that's it, too. How often is that Chick-fil-A open?
Yeah.
I mean, is it open Monday through Saturday?
It doesn't open on Falcons games, and it's closed. So it's closed on Falcons games. It's open during Atlanta United games that are not on Sunday, and college football games.
But I mean, is it open? Will it be open on Tuesday this week?
In the stadium?
Yeah.
If they have an event.
No, but that's what I'm getting at, though. I mean, it's closed more often than it's open, right?
It's closed all the time.
So why not open just for one day? I mean, it's not even a full day.
Why don't you tell? Why can't you ask the employees? Why can't you ask the employees? Hey, who wants to work Super Bowl? Like, who wants to be in the building and work Super Bowl? I bet you'd have a staff of 20.
I bet you would have some volunteers.
Right, of course. I think you would. I think you absolutely would.
You know, and then build in a break. Say, hey, you know what? For working the Super Bowl, each of you guys get at least a 30-minute break.
Yeah, to go chill out, walk around.
Yeah.
Take a look, take a peek inside.
Why would if I was
experience of a lifetime?
If that was me, I would totally work it.
Yes.
A free ticket into the Super Bowl? Are you kidding me?
Dan Cathy, open up the Chick-fil-A. Come on.
Do it. People need their waffle fries.
Especially in Atlanta. Of all the places, if you had a Chick-fil-A in, like, let's say Raymond James Stadium, right, in Tampa, okay, I can see, but you're in a, this is a, like, people have been telling me since I got here, it's like, the cuisine here, they got great, but it's Chick-fil-A and Coca-Cola. It's like, all right, Chick-fil-A, open up in the Super Bowl. This is your city. Hashtag ATL. I mean,
now, I'm just kidding. I mean, Chick-fil-A keeps their normal prices there, right?
Oh, yeah,
You have to assume. Because, yeah. I mean, you know,
I don't think a chicken sandwich at the stadium is $30.
Well, nothing in that stadium is expensive. That's what I love.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's going to be cheap.
This past weekend, I went to the auto show, the Houston Auto Show, right?
Right.
And my son was a little hungry, and I'm like, I don't really want to buy anything here. You know, we were planning on going to have lunch immediately after hanging out at the auto show, but you know, I was like, you know what? I'll go get you something. I got him like a foot-long corn dog and a bottle of water. You want to venture a guess?
$8.
Close. 13.
$10. $13
for a
corn dog and a Coke?
A foot-long corn dog and a bottle of water.
You got to be kidding me.
Yes.
How much was the foot-long corn dog?
Like $8. $10? $8, and that was like the cheap thing.
And the water was $5?
Yeah. A bottle
of water.
That is
robbery.
And all I
said
there,
robbery.
The first thought that went through my mind when I was handing over my card, going, you know, and not really letting it go. You know, it was like
right.
Holding on tight, like, just, you know, knock off a dollar. The first thing that was going through my mind was like, people in Atlanta, they don't, there's going to be a generation of people in Atlanta. I don't know. Hopefully Arthur Blank never raises the prices, but they'll never know what the pain of stadium food is. The paying for stadium for concession prices.
I know. There's kind of a given if you have Super Bowl tickets in any part of the world, the country, I should say. That you're going to have to budget in a lot of money for food.
Yeah, $300.
That's just part of the deal.
Right? You got a budget.
Just bring it tremendous. And then you come to the one here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and you're like, oh, my God, I could feast for $20.
Yeah, I mean,
for
you know.
For $20, I could stuff my face. I won't eat again.
And it's the NFL. And the other problem with the NFL now is that they require clear bags. So it's not like you can even sneak in a box of Mike and Ike's.
No, you
know,
they'll
say, oh, you either got to finish him or throw him out. And you're going to be sitting there in the corner like, you know, just
what do you think this is? Your local movie theater?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah,
I think it's a great. I got to be honest with you. All kidding aside, I think it's a great story that the concessions are cheap. I think.
Oh, I think it's fantastic.
Don't overblow this angle to the Super Bowl.
No, and I wish other owners would jump on board, or you know, the other stadiums would jump on board.
Because I do too. I think it's a great story.
That makes. I mean, you know, we can go to, I mean, especially if you have like a baseball only stadium. You know, like a stadium, you know, here in Houston, we have Minute Maid Park. All they do are baseball games. They may have, you know, maybe they'll do like an exhibition soccer game in there every once in a while, you know, just for fun. But it is a baseball stadium. And
yeah.
Why not? Why should those concession prices be equal to, like, say, an NFL stadium?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You're there every single day during the spring and summer. You know, drop those prices down a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I think the angle of the cheap prices is great. I just wish, you know, Chick-fil-A should just say, hey, you know what? We're opened up for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, why?
It's
and,
a Super
you know,
Bowl.
Come
it's
on,
our, it's
dude.
Our stadium
it's,
go.
Once, I mean, how often does Atlanta have the Super Bowl, too? Last time was almost 10 years ago, over 10 years ago.
And by the way, their food is good.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do to those chicken sandwiches, but they're delicious.
No,
it's good.
You got to go spicy or not go any. Don't go there at all.
Yeah, it's
you gotta get the spicy chicken sandwich, or don't go to Chick-fil-A at all.
I get the club.
Nope, you're
I
wrong.
Get the club sandwich.
You're,
well,
is that
wrong?
Is that grilled chicken?
No, of course not.
You can't go grilled.
Got a chance.
Oh, I forgot who I was talking to. My
you
bad.
You silly, silly man. You grilled chicken. Oh, and you know what I hate? I hate when I get asked that. When I go to a chicken place and I go, I want a sandwich, or when they have salad and they go grilled or fried, and you're just like, with a whole bunch of shame, you're like, fried.
I know.
It's like, they're like, of course.
You couldn't tell walking in?
Yeah. We used to go to the restaurant when I was with the kids, and they'd want chicken tenders, and the restaurant we would have grilled healthy chicken tenders and fried non-healthy chicken tenders. They'd always ask us. We'd go, fried. Yeah. Our kids won't eat the grilled.
No, I know. You feel so sad.
You're like sad. You feel like somebody's going to take your parental card away from you.
And basically,
what it is,
though.
I'd like a chicken Caesar salad, please.
You know what it is? Especially when you order your kids' food, because they never eat it all. It's like, I don't want to eat grilled chicken. I want the fried nugget, man. I want the fried tender, man.
You give me grilled. Remember, Kentucky Fried Chicken had Kentucky Grilled Chicken.
No, they knew. They probably still do. I know they do in California. They're doing these health-crazed places. They still got the grill.
It's crazy.
You know, when you go to KFC, you don't get the mashed potatoes. You can probably get a side of quinoa.
Listen, I'm from Nashville. We eat fried chicken and drown it with sweet tea. Are you kidding? A gallon of sweet tea covered in gravy. That's great. Coming up, Super Bowl history. On this date, we do it every single day all the way up to the Super Bowl. We reminisce about the Super Bowls in years past. We have two that took place on this date, including one that was right here in this city. We'll give it to you next, coming up on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's time to go down Super Bowl memory lane. We give you this date in Super Bowl history. How long have we been doing this?
I don't know, I guarantee this one will be far better than the one yesterday.
Yeah, far better than the one yesterday. The only one Super Bowl that was on the calendar from yesterday was Ron's Chargers losing to San Francisco. There are two that were played on this date. Super Bowl 17, that was between the Washington Redskins and the Miami Dolphins, and that was played on this date in 1983. A couple of interesting things about this. This was the Super Bowl. It depends on your age, again, and I know there's a lot of you that are young and don't know the history of the NFL beyond your experience with it. But if you're old enough to remember, and I was young enough at the time to know what was going on, but not old enough to really process the meaning of it. In 1982, the players went on strike, and it was a bad strike. It was a strike that disrupted the season significantly, disrupted the playoff seeding significantly, and the Washington Redskins emerged as the champion. But it was a very, very odd year. And it was, look, when you're a little kid like I was and you love the NFL, it was a scary time because you don't understand collective bargaining. You don't know why players are going on strike. You don't know the larger issue. You think it's about money. You're sure it's about money, but you don't know really what it's about. And I just remember I was a young kid at this time, and I was like, when are they coming back to play football? And they didn't come to play back football for a while. So what they did was there were eight teams from each conference that were seeded 1 through 8 based on their regular season. And that's how they did the modified playoffs. And the Redskins went on to win the Super Bowl over the Miami Dolphins. And John Riggins had a huge day. John Riggins had a tremendous game. We remember the Redskins for the Hogs, the offensive line that they had. And they beat a pretty good Dolphins team at the time. But Riggins had a famous 44-yard touchdown run that was set up that got them the victory. David Woodley was the quarterback of the Dolphins at the time. This was just before Dan Marino arrived. Joe Theismann was the quarterback of the Redskins. Washington would go to the Super Bowl the next year, but they would lose to the Raiders. This was John Riggins' game. Again, a 43-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter kind of put the game away. It gave the Redskins at the time a 20-17 lead. So it gave the Redskins the lead, and then they would go on to score another late touchdown to put the game up by 10. But again, this is the Super Bowl from that strike year. And if I kind of, you know, it's just one of those historical things in the league. If you're interested, if you're young enough that you don't remember that, you know, you can Google the 82 strike and find out what it meant to the NFL. The NFL would go on another strike in 87, and if you remember that, they just had a documentary about that, remember they brought in scab players, and there was and I think the Redskins won the Super Bowl again that year too. I think it was the year that they beat the Denver Broncos. That was the scab season where they brought in players for like 3 weeks out of the year because they didn't want another situation like happened in 1982. The other Super Bowl that happened was the Super Bowl that we talked about since arriving in Atlanta, Super Bowl 34. And that was, there's a couple of reasons for that. One, it was the last Super Bowl that was played in Atlanta. Two, it was the last Super Bowl the Rams, who are in this year's Super Bowl, of course, won as the St. Louis Rams, the greatest show on turf, taking on the Tennessee Titans. And the Rams won that Super Bowl 23-16. Yes.
You missed the Super Bowl.
On this date?
Yeah.
Oh, which one?
Super Bowl 28.
I meticulously did that, and I must have missed that one.
I think you did it on purpose.
Super Bowl 28?
Yeah, Cowboys over the Bills.
Oh, Cowboys. That was also played in Atlanta.
Yeah, it was. It was at the Georgia Dome.
Yeah, the Georgia Dome. Cowboys over the Bills. Okay, before we get to the Rams-Titans, let's do Cowboys versus the Bills. If there was a Super Bowl I thought the Bills were going to win, it was that one. I thought by the fourth time
they were going to win
the Super Bowl. By the time they got to their fourth one, I thought, okay, this has got to be the year the Bills finally beat a team from the NFC and win the Super Bowl. But they did it. This was Emmitt Smith's show. If Troy Aikman had a great performance in the first meeting with the Cowboys and the Bills, then Emmitt Smith had the best performance of the second round. That was but that sent the Bills to their fourth straight loss and the Cowboys to their second straight Super Bowl win, having won Super Bowl 27 the year before. So I remember, was that the game? No, I think Thurman Thomas lost his helmet in Super Bowl 26. But it all just comes together. It all blends together when you're a Buffalo Bills fan. It's like 4 years in one long stretch of time. So but, yeah, Super Bowl 28, that was also in Atlanta. Super Bowl 34 between the Rams and the Chiefs. This is the one where, Kevin Dyson came up 1 yard short?
Yes.
For the Titans?
Which I feel to this day led to having really great Super Bowls. Like,
yes.
Consistently. Because before that, I mean, we had all these blowouts from, you know, the NFC teams just, you know, roll-stomping all over the AFC teams. I mean, I guess, you know, to a certain degree, the Broncos-Packers game, maybe that was the first really good one. But I felt like from that moment on, it was in that era, it was like, finally we're starting to get good games. Because we weren't, for the longest time, we weren't getting good games.
Yeah, and you didn't watch the Super Bowl. You kind of got accustomed to Super Bowls that, you're right, that were blowouts, but definitely not, even if they weren't blowouts, they weren't close at the end, right? We didn't have Super Bowls. Like, we had games that were close in score, but we didn't have one where one team was driving down the field in the final seconds of a game looking to do something, either take a lead or tie a game. We didn't have that.
For example, I mean, we talked about it yesterday. You know, Super Bowl 20, what was that, 29, between the Niners and the Chargers. The final score is 49-26.
Right,
but
exactly.
In all actuality, that game should have been, you know, 60-7.
Yeah, of course.
Because that's how bad it was.
The closest that we had was Super Bowl 25 with the Bills and the Giants, right? The Norwood miss. But that was really kind of, for a period of time, that was really kind of an anomaly in amongst NFC blowouts, right? Like a stretch of period of time where when you look back on all three of the Bronco losses were pretty substantial. Joe Montana's, that was a close one where he scored, he hit John Taylor. Bills kicking a field goal, that was close. But other than that, you still have the Bears dominating Super Bowl 20. You have the Giants, obviously, and the Redskins winning Super Bowls 21 and 22. 49ers winning Super Bowl 24. The Redskins throttling the Bills in Super Bowl 26. 27 was Dallas routing the Bills again. Cowboys pretty much handled the Bills in Super Bowl 28. Super Bowl 29 was a blowout. So, again, a couple of games in this period of time where the Super Bowl was not close and not entertaining at the end. And this one was a kind of a real nail-biter. I mean, this was what, again, Mike Jones of the Rams winning the game by tackling Kevin Dyson 1 yard short of the goal line. And that was it. And it was considered one of the best Super Bowls up until that time. And you could make arguments about other Super Bowls, of course, but this was pretty entertaining. It was a really entertaining game. It was pretty wild, and again, came down to the last one. Kurt Warner was it was his first Super Bowl win. Remember, this was the completion of the Kurt Warner arc, right? I mean, Trent Green was going to be the starting quarterback
right.
that year. Kurt Warner takes over. I mean, we don't really know who he is, so we're like,
all we
this
knew
guy?
Is he was bagging groceries in Iowa.
Bagging
That's
groceries,
all we knew.
Right. Yep, exactly. Played in the Arena League, and that was really it. And then he's kind of lighting up the league, and now he's a Super Bowl champion. And it was really kind of a Hollywood script from the Super. It was incredible. I mean, it was just an incredible game, an incredible story that was finished. There was an ice storm before the Super Bowl. It was the last time it was played here in Atlanta at the Georgia Dome. So Isaac Bruce scored with about less than 2 minutes to go in the game.
But it all came down to that one play. I remember watching, just rewatching that play over and over again. And the funny thing was about, when Mike Jones tackled Kevin Dyson, didn't it feel like an eternity before they actually said the game was over? They were just
exactly.
looking like, are you sure the tip of the ball didn't reach the 1 yard line? It's like, no, he was definitely a yard short.
Yep.
But they scrutinized that final play so much.
And we had, we hadn't up until, I mean, we played over 50 Super Bowls without any of them going into overtime until Super Bowl 51 with the Patriots and the Falcons. But this was going to go into overtime, right? The Titans were going to score, kick the extra point. And then, back then, kids, the extra point was like a chip shot at the 2 yard line.
It's a gimme.
Not like today. It was a gimme. So it was a give-in, right?
Did they even have the two-point conversion back then?
I don't even know. That's a really good question. I don't know if you could have gone for two back then. I don't think you could. I don't think you could, but I don't know. I'd have to look that up. But this would have gone into overtime, right? This was heading into overtime. And then Mike Jones makes the play on Dyson, and that's it. That is it. The Titans never return to the game, and the Rams win their Super Bowl. They win their first Super Bowl as a franchise and first in the city of St. Louis, this date in 2000.
The other thing I'm looking up, which is kind of funny, it's also known as the .com Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
Most of the advertisements were bought by .com companies that, pretty much no longer exist.
Yes. By the way, I saw this last night in researching this game. Wasn't the halftime show the E-Trade halftime show? And back then it was
probably
like, what's E-Trade? What is?
Yep.
Wait a minute. You want me to invest online?
Okay, you ready for the lineup for the halftime show?
Yeah, go ahead.
The national anthem for that,
was 2000, right?
2000.
So this was 19 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, the 2000 halftime show starred Phil Collins, Christina Aguilera, Enrique Iglesias, Tony Braxton, and Edward James Olmos.
Are you kidding? That's awesome.
That's an eclectic group right there.
When you said Christina Aguilera, I'm like, wow, that was 19 years ago.
Yeah, that's a
I
very,
still look at her as a kid.
That's Genie in the Bottle Christina Aguilera,
by
the way.
That is Genie in the Bottle Christina Aguilera. Are you kidding?
That was the one. Now she's kind of a little more diva, and her runs are too long.
Oh.
I want her to go back to Genie in the Bottle Christina Aguilera.
That's right. Amazing.
I can't get behind
Amazing.
That. Yeah, those runs that she does. I'm like, okay, you know what? We know you can do it. You don't need to do that every single time you open your mouth.
Yeah, that's right. That was Super Bowl 34. Again, so three Super Bowls on this date, Super Bowl 17, Super Bowl 28, and Super Bowl 34, all played. Two of them played in Atlanta, and the other one was in Pasadena, California. So there you go, Super Bowl history. I always like doing these these, because I think that the Super Bowl lends itself better than any other sport to the to his, some historic. You don't have to get into they beat this team in 7 games or beat this team in 4 games, or you just have a football game that we all kind of remember because we were all doing something. I think I can remember where I was and who I was watching the Super Bowl with all the way back to like Super Bowl 15, where I can't do that with any other sporting event.
Right.
Pretty,
no, I don't
yeah,
remember where I was
wild.
For World Series this or that.
Yeah, no way. SB Nation AM.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you're joining us here on Super Bowl Radio Row, getting ready for number 53. 53 Super Bowls. Going all the way back to 1967, all the way up till today. It's Rams and Patriots. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number if you want to get involved and get your thoughts in on the Super Bowl. But a lot of different angles that we've been taking, you know, the old versus new, the Belichick versus McVay, Tom Brady versus Jared Goff in terms of the quarterback matchup. I love the coaching matchups in this Super Bowl. I love the designs of what each team is going to do. I still am leaning towards the Rams. I just have this gut feeling on the Rams. I don't know why. I like the way they came back in the game against
the Chiefs.
It's the
cheerleaders. That's
what. It might be the two male cheerleaders that are getting a lot of attention here in Atlanta. I love the fact that the Rams, if you're down 13-0 at the Superdome in the NFC Championship game, I don't care how good you are, you really should be dead in the water.
That's why I'm having a hard time with the Rams. Is because
they're down 13-0.
Well, lately they've been having to come back in these games. They've gone down early, and then they've had to claw and fight their way back. I think they were able to do that against the Saints, even though it's a hostile crowd, hostile environment. They were able to do that. I don't know if they're able to do that against Belichick.
I would agree with you if I didn't see the Chiefs do it last week. Right? I mean, 2 weeks ago. Like, the Chiefs were down 14-0.
That's true.
At home.
Yep,
And I saw them come back.
But I'm putting that
I
more on
I agree with you on – I agree. Yeah, I me too. I agree with you on that level. I think there is a closing factor on the Patriots that leads – that, you know, if they fall behind early. You're down 13-0 in the NFC title game at the Superdome. That's kind of game over, right? I mean, the Saints should pile on and use the crowd to their advantage and get you out of rhythm. I mean, look, at one point, remember that play where Jared Goff has to run over to the wide receiver and tell him something and goes right back? I mean, that's how loud that place was, right? Now, it's not going to be close to that loud. The Super Bowl is not a loud place. You don't. There's no home field advantage at the Superdome, right? It's more of a corporate crowd and fans on both sides. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about that. But still, nevertheless, this is a trait of Sean McVay's that I liked, that his team fought back on the road, hostile environment, to come back. But I'm going to tell you something. It gets really hard. It really gets hard for me with that gut feeling on the Rams. Then my brain kicks in and goes, "Really, man, the Patriots? Really? On that? If they're getting motivated by this whole idea of everybody thinks we're terrible, we shouldn't, you know, we're still here, and nobody believes we could be here," which I think is massively overblown. But nevertheless, if you want to use it as motivation, that's it. That's where my brain kicks in and my gut feeling goes, change it, because it's the Patriots are too strong here. So we'll see how the rest of this goes.
I'm going to make this argument now, because you said, you know, hey, the Chiefs were able to do it, but I think now it's like, all right, well, Belichick will plug up those holes. You know, the Chiefs did it against them, so now he's looking out like, okay, you know what? Yeah, they did almost get the best of us. I'm making some adjustments so this never happens again. Basically what it comes down to, late in the game, when you're in the fourth quarter, game's close, I have more faith in Belichick right now than I do McVay. I think McVay will do a lot of unconventional things.
No, I agree with you completely.
I think, you know, he's coming in. He'll almost do like the Sean Payton type of thing where it's like, you know, the opening kickoff at halftime. He goes for an onside kick. I see unconventional things like that coming out of McVay that, you know, work really well in video games. And I'm not trying to say, you know, knock McVay. I mean, he's going to become one of the great football minds. I just think Belichick is still a few years ahead of him as far as being a great NFL mind.
No, and I agree with you on that point. And that is the one drawback is, look, are the Rams soaking it all in, right? Yeah, I'm sure they are, right? First appearance for a lot of the guys, most of the guys. Yep, absolutely. When it gets to football, will they be football focused? That's at least the belief, right? That, again, when you're talking about a team that has been around, experienced, knows the drill of this week, knows the rhythm of this week, it's different than any other work week. You know, there's more obligations to you. There's more people tugging at you personally and media-wise, right? You're going to these press conferences. There's a lot more media to talk to. There's a way to handle it. The Patriots obviously know how to do that. But that always seems to not be an issue at the Super Bowl. Because every time I think, well, that's a veteran team against an inexperienced team, the inexperienced teams, after a few plays goes, you know what? It's the Super Bowl. This is a football game. I get it. I'm playing in a football game, right? It took a few plays, but now I'm in the rhythm of it. Now I kind of get it. McVay, knowing the stakes, right? Knowing what's at stake, can he still call that risky play? Can he still call that chance thing, right? That play that's got a could be a home run or, you know, set you back and force you to punt? Or does he play this smart? Does he take any chances? Belichick's chances are very calculated, right? They don't come out of nowhere. With McDaniels and him, they know exactly where they want to go. And when they do call something a little different, a little quirky, right? Maybe it's a flea flicker back to Brady or whatever it is. It doesn't necessarily have to be a trick play. It just has to be something a little out of the norm of, conventional. We pass instead of run, or we run instead of pass, whatever it is. Does McVay do that, or does McVay, even as a young man who's confident, does he get a little Super Bowl fright because of the stakes?
Right. You know, like a close fourth and one, does he actually do it, or will he just opt out for the punt and play it safe?
Right, exactly. I mean, we talked about this in the NFC Championship game. The Saints had the ball down at the 1 yard line. It was fourth down. From a McVay standpoint, how badly did he want to just send his running, you know, his group out there. Like, let's run some screen. But
basically,
for one,
what I equated to is,
you got to kick. You got to get the points.
I would equate it to a young, up-and-coming golfer going against Tiger Woods in his prime on Sunday, head-to-head. And, like, you know, will that golfer, will he be a little tentative? Will he lay up a little bit more than, you know, saying, you know what, I'm going to do what got me here. I'm going to take risks. I'm going to take chances. If I shoot my ball into the water, I shoot my ball in the water. No big deal. And
that's the kind of what you have to do, right? I mean, we heard golfers talk about that with Tiger Woods, who've been able to compete against him. I remember Bob May at Valhalla in Louisville. Was like, I just had to go out there and just go, whatever. All right, I'm doing doing the best I can. But the only way I could do it is he makes birdie, I got to make birdie. Same thing with McVay. I think you're right. And if McVay is in talking with his coaches and says, look, guys, if we're inside the Patriot territory at any point in the game, I don't care if it's the 49-yard line, and it's fourth and one, we're going for it.
Right.
Right? I don't care. I don't care where the ball is.
Unless you're up by a lot, then obviously, conservative. But
if it's in our territory, maybe we punt. But if it's 49 and in, we're going for it on fourth and one. And don't anybody change my mind about this. Like, we are calling the play. Do not make me send that punting unit out. This is the plan I want to stick with in this game. This is the aggressive style I want to stick with in this game. And if he does that, I think they got a chance. I you're absolutely right. I worry about how many times have we talked about the Patriots, right, with that whole, you're up by two touchdowns or you're up by 10 points, right? And
Falcons.
You know, the Patriots come down. Falcons, right?
You're up by 24.
A more extreme example, but you're right. Like, late in the game, you're up by 10, or you're up by 13 is even better, because the Steelers used to have this problem. You're up by 13, and then the Patriots score and they cut it to six, and then you get the ball and you can't do anything with
right.
it. And then you punt, and the moment the ball is flying through the air, you're going, ah, game over. It's like, that's it. Right? They're just going to come down the field and march down the field and score.
Yeah, because that's what you got to stop, because the Patriots, I mean, you have surefire Hall of Fame. I mean, he's one of those Hall of Famers. I was thinking about this yesterday on my way home because, you know, I saw a picture of Wayne Gretzky. And he is still the only athlete to be just inducted into the Hall of Fame the moment he retired. The moment the final buzzer blew in the final hockey game of his career, he was inducted to the Hall of Fame. We should probably just do that with Brady.
But, yeah, absolutely.
But so you have that on the other side. We say it all the time, too. You have, like, 3 minutes left, and you're giving Brady the clock. I mean, it's almost one of these things. Like, if you have a minute left and the Patriots have two timeouts, you've left Brady way too much time.
Yeah.
And so you got to be thinking ahead for that. It's like, you know, I got to put up enough scores. I got to take enough chances so I don't have I don't run into that opportunity where I've given Brady enough time.
Yeah, and also, too, remember, like, Brady's one of the toughest quarterbacks to blitz against because he reads it so well and he gets the ball out quickly. So he burns you on the blitz. But some teams have had success like, listen, I'm going to bring it and I'm going to just take my chances with it. I'm going to take my chances that the pressure is enough that we get in his face or we tip a pass or whatever it is that we have to do. Does Wade Phillips go in that direction or does he play conservative towards the end in a close game? There's a lot of these factors that you can't do with anybody else because Brady is so good with the release. He's one of the top quarterbacks in terms of release time. He gets that ball out quickly. But again, if you edge rush him, if you get him on the edge, he'll just step in the pocket and kick yep. cook you alive. It has to come from the front. And again, I know it's cliche. Every time we get a Brady big game, this is what we talk about over and over and over again. You got to get the pressure from the front. You got to get the pressure from the front. It's the same old story. But the reality is, that's how you do it because nothing else works. Nothing else works, right? I mean, you're not gonna beat him if he has time. You're not gonna beat him, you know, straight up. You're gonna beat him by causing him to throw the ball a little more off than he's normally used
right,
to.
Right, because the one thing you're not going to be able to coach against or, you know, coach towards is the fact that this guy has more experience than everyone on your coaching staff combined, everyone on your team, everyone in the organization combined. This one guy has more experience in big game situations like the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And you know, and it's not going to – he's not going to feel the pressure. He's going to be,
exactly.
he's gonna be like, it's just another game.
800-777-2907. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Calvin Beecham joining us here, offensive tackle for the New York Jets here on Radio Row in Super Bowl 53. How are you, my friend?
Doing well, man. Thanks
Good,
for having
man.
Me.
I got to see former Pittsburgh Steeler, too, as a
yes,
Steeler
sir.
Fan,
yes,
so I know
sir.
You played for the Steelers. So I want to. He's also a very important Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, helped provide over 1 million meals to people in need. First of all, before we get to some football stuff,
sure.
let's talk about that. Let's talk about your goal and what you've wanted to do for the community, having this platform and having this stage.
Man, just wanted to be able to give back to experiences that I endured as a child. So, you know, one was the food insecurity. They call it food insecurity now, but, you know, growing up in poverty and then finding ways for young people to have access to great education. Tech is changing the world, so science, technology, engineering, and mathematics is something that I've tried to do to make sure that young people know about the opportunities that are out there, especially in this thriving tech economy right now.
All right, and also from the standpoint of, you know, you're still relatively young guy, so how long have you felt the need, like, I want to serve, even if you don't, not an NFL player?
For sure, man, I've been doing this since I was in college, so it's not something I just started when I was in the league. You
know, right.
Had this opportunity early on in college, served, got the service award while I was at SMU. For the conference, so it's just always been something that I've wanted to do, something I'm passionate about. And at the end of the day, you know, what you give will grow and what you keep, you lose. So it's always the thing that I wanted to do is be able to get back to the community.
All right, I want to get to, because we always talk about quarterbacks, the cerebral part of the game, but let's be honest, offensive linemen, you guys are the smartest guys in football, right? I mean,
sure.
Come on.
No doubt.
I mean, all the schemes that you have to remember, all the blocking that you have to do, all the the level of from college to the pros, when you got to the Steelers, when you first was it night and day? Was it just a little bit?
It was night and day. You know, the way in which we approached the game, the preparation that was needed for the game is night and day from college at SMU. So how it was in Pittsburgh. And then you also have to think about the physical aspect of it. You know, I was going from blocking, you know, 19-year-olds that had no name to blocking James Harrison every day in practice. So, you know, it's a completely different game. So I would say night and day.
In terms of, because the Patriots, Dante Scarnecchia has just been, he's just a legendary offensive line coach. And I don't think that gets enough credit or enough play coming into this game, what he's going to have to do against Aaron Donald and Ngamukong-Suh.
You know, the thing is, if you look at the Super Bowls that they've won, Dante has been the head O-line guy there. The ones that they've lost other than last year, they've lost. So I would really kind of tip my hat to what Dante has been able to do there. He's done a phenomenal job getting that offensive line to play at an extremely high level right now. And I think if you look at this game, I think they're going to run right at him. You know, Aaron Donald is somebody who plays backdoor and a lot of the zone blocks. If you look at how New England plays, it's very downhill. They put a fullback in the backfield, and they go right at you. So I think Dante is going to put that offensive line in the best position to go out and thrive. And then they find ways during the game to go and explore the weakness. If you look at that Kansas City game, they went late in the game and just ran the ball weak, right behind Trent Brown, allowed him to clear out the whole left side and ran right behind him weak. And then you look at Gronk. Gronk is playing phenomenal ball,
right?
Just being able to block DNs by himself.
From an offensive lineman standpoint, when you see a player like Aaron Donald, you know, speed, strength, not super tall, but incredibly versatile.
Correct.
What is your analysis of an offensive lineman for a guy like Aaron Donald?
You got to go at him. You just got to fight. It's going to be a dog fight, and you just got to fight him the entire game. Some, you know, they have this old saying that I heard about in Pittsburgh. Sometimes the bear gets you, and sometimes you get the bear. At the end of the day, you just got to go fight. And if you fight more times than not, you're going to find a way to come out on top. And that's, you know, what teams have done when they've been able to beat them and put Aaron Donald kind of in his place. And the thing is, he's still going to make plays. He's
right.
A great player for a reason. He's going to find a way to make plays. But all in all, if you put a double team on him consistently, you find a way to get at him, he's going to find a way to tap out sooner or later.
Kelvin Beachum, New York Jets offensive tackle. Real quick, best grill on the market.
Trigger.
Okay. That's what I meant. Grill Master and also Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. Good luck with that. And great job serving. Good job, obviously, playing at this league. Kelvin Beachum of the New York Jets. This is SB Nation Radio live on Super Bowl Roll here in Atlanta. Get ready for Super Bowl 53.